work moves through my head. Your thoughts stay on my mind, live in me. Your song flows through my lips. Your work moves through my head. Your thoughts stay on my mind, live in me. And you can have all of me, have all of me, have all of me, 'cause I'm yours, and I give you all of me, give you all of me, God gives all of me, I'm yours, God, I'm yours.
Give you all of me. open hearts, open minds tonight. Sing, I'm yours. Can we say, dear, you can have all of me. God, our minds are yours. God, our hearts are yours. Everything we think is yours. Sing, I give you all. Give you all. Sing, I'm yours.
So
somebody cry out a sound of surrenderance tonight. Come on, I won't feed it to you. Our prayer tonight is that's our heart's cry. It sounds great, put some music, but it doesn't matter if it's not in your heart. It means nothing if you just say it with your mouth. So tonight my prayer is that you match your confession with your heart's posture. God, tonight as we cry out, God, you can have all of me. God, we expose every hidden thing, every secret thing, every dirty thing we don't want anyone to see. God, tonight we give it to you. Yes, you can have all of us. Have all of us. Have all of us. Sing, I'm yours. Give you all of me. Sing, I'm yours.
Good morning, Blog Talk family and Running for Christ Ministries. This is our Saturday school. This is Minister Janice Tate, and I will be your teacher today. And we're going to open with prayer, but we're going to pray right from the scripture. So if you have your Bibles, get your pens ready and your paper, and let's write down our scripture, which is going to be our opening prayer this morning, found in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. And I'm reading in the New Living Translation. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual understanding and wisdom. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power so that you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Amen. Well, we're continuing in our series of We Believe, not just knowing what, but why. And the thought behind this is the fact that so many in the church have a lot of sayings. We know words, we know phrases, and we use them a lot. But do we understand what these words, what these phrases, what these verses, what these concepts mean in light of Scripture, what they mean in light of what God's greater story is throughout the whole Bible about his relationship with humanity? So we're deep diving into different things. And last week we finished up with who the Holy Spirit is and what he does for us. So this week, we are going to take on one of the words that we use. We might not use it as much, but we sure live by this word. If we understand it, it will become more than just information, but I pray that it will lead to transformation. So with that being said, I hope I got folks joining in with me because we can do some of this reading. But I'm going to give us our memory verse for today, which is found in Mark chapter 10 verse 45, and it reads, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many.
Again,
praise, a ransom for many. Because the word today we're going to focus on is redemption. We hear about the word redemption all the time. If you were from a certain era of life, you remember that we used to redeem stamps. We used to get S&H green stamps and put them in a book, and you could take them and you could trade that book in to get some kind of item that you could purchase from a catalog. Other times you've heard redemption where there's a rebate or something, you're getting something back. But the Greek word for redemption is the word apolutrosis, which means to ransom in full. It also means salvation, deliverance. And we believe this is a major theme that helps us understand the total narrative of the Bible. When we think about redemption, we should understand it in this way. I have been redeemed. I am being redeemed. I will be redeemed. Let me repeat that. I have been redeemed. I am being redeemed. And I will be redeemed. Redemption is both now and ongoing. So let's take a closer look at this word. And again, we don't often use, but I pray after today we will understand, and we will understand how significant it is to our walk and our relationship with the Lord. So I'm asking a question right off the rip for everybody out there. Think of when you see or hear the word ransom.
Good morning, Pastor Janice.
Good morning.
I think of TV. I think of someone making a phone call and someone else is captured. I'm sorry. And I wrote the Webster's definition for it, but a consideration paid or demanded for the release of someone or something from captivity.
All right. Anybody else out there? Okay. That's all right. Everybody's going to be quiet this morning, but that's good. I know you're out there. So
I don't have, what was the word you asked?
What do you think of when you see or hear the word ransom?
Ransom, something that has you have given up to receive or to hold it. Something you have given out to retrieve or to get something back that was yours.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't look it up. I'm just giving up what I would say.
That's the question. I just asked the question, what comes to your mind? And that's good, you know. Yeah, that's good. It's because you're both on the same path. We usually think of things like somebody being held hostage.
Right, exactly.
Or kidnapped or held against their will, and somebody else is being appealed to get their release secured.
Okay.
So with that frame in mind, now you have an understanding of what the word redemption means, because
right.
That's what it means. It means to ransom in full, meaning the ransom is completely paid.
You paid everything.
So So let's get into this deeper, because we got to get, I always like to do, how did we get here? Some of you know who comedian Amber Ruffin is. And she always asks a question, how did we get here? I like to answer that question, too, because if you ask that question, we need to look back and see how we landed in a place where we needed redemption, where we needed a ransom to be paid in full. So I gave you some scriptures. I'm asking you to read for me this morning because, praise God, my strength is returning from this week. Genesis chapter 3 And somebody read just a section of verses 9 through 19, just a little snippet of what happened in the garden.
But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "You in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." Amen.
Thank you very much, sis. So here we have the snippet of what happened right after Adam and Eve took of the fruit that God forbid them to. But we got to just go back a little bit in our Genesis mind to understand God had created the earth. He created this beautiful garden. And he placed Adam and Eve in the garden, and he gave them the command to be fruitful, to multiply, and to live with him, in relationship with him. It says in the scripture that Adam walked with God. God walked in the cool of the garden, and Adam was with him, and they were in relationship with each other. And then, right off the bat, the serpent enters into the picture. They fall, and when they fell, the first thing that happens is God is looking for them. So there's hiding that enters into the picture immediately. Hiding, which leads to the conversation about being naked. So there's shame, there's guilt, there's fear. All these things that weren't there have now entered into the picture. And then as we go throughout the passage that she just read, there's some really pronounced things. There's punishment that comes. The serpent is cursed for what he did. But then there's a promise of one who's going to come, but there's going to be a violent exchange in verse 3:15, where there's going to be enmity between the serpent's seed and the seed of the woman. But the seed of the woman is going to crush the serpent's head, but the serpent, is going to strike the seed of the woman's heel. So, again, violence. All of these things start entering in that were not there before. And it changed everything, and that is the place where we see in Scripture where those who were free are now held hostage because their relationship changes with each other. It becomes contrary. And now the ground and the garden that produced everything freely for them to eat, they're not going to have to work to get it. So the earth is suffering because it says it'll produce thorns and thistles that'll be hurtful. So you see all of the things that entered in that changed the state of what God intended for Adam and Eve and humanity to live under. Any questions before I go on?
No.
All right. So now you see, we have a hostage situation, if you would, because we also now have death that is entered into the picture, because as she read at the end of verse 19, from you were made from the dust, and to the dust you will return. So now what wasn't there is now there. So we have sin and death that have entered the picture, sin and all it contains, and death and all it contains. And we, as we know, those are the two. If it's one thing most of us are people are afraid of, is death.
The fear of the unknown.
Fear plagues us. It's ruling everything now. All right. So we have a hostage situation. Let's go on to question number three. Why are we not able to redeem ourselves? First, I want somebody to go to Psalm 49 and read verses 5 through 9.
Okay.
And I'm going to give the first answer to that question.
You said Psalms.
Psalm 49, 4 through 9.
Why should I fear when evil days come? When wicked deceivers surround me, those who trust in their wealth and boast of their great riches, no one can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for them. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough so that they should live on forever and not see decay. Amen.
Amen. Okay.
And notice what word pops up in that passage. You cannot redeem yourself from death. Nobody knows, and people try, and they throw a lot of money at trying to live forever, even to the point they freeze themselves when they die, hoping that they can be resurrected later. So there's a lot that goes into people's fear of death, but nobody can pay it. Why can't anybody pay it? In other words, why are we not able to redeem ourselves?
Because none of us are God.
Well, that's one.
Because none of us are sinless.
We just don't have the ability, because God is the one who created everything.
All right, everybody's around it.
Well,
we're right there.
Thinking of,
because we're sinners.
I was thinking of like a hostage situation. You know, typically the person that's a hostage, is unable to ransom themselves because they're the hostage.
If they well off, you know, they can negotiate a deal to go get it. So they might can let them go to go be anyway. But like you saying, I'm thinking we didn't make ourselves. He didn't want. Well, I don't know. Just my okay. Why we couldn't make ourselves?
I mean, well, and then I'm just thinking of if God owns everything. I mean. And we have to pay this ransom. I mean, what are we going to do it with? The ransom is to God. He's the one that was offended.
Can you repeat the question again, please?
Sit. Why are we not able to redeem ourselves?
We aren't self-sufficient is all I can think. I don't know. I felt like a wow.
I like the discussion. That's good discussion. But it's in the text. It says in verse 7 again. Yet they cannot redeem themselves from death by paying a ransom to God. And then continue on. Redemption does not come so easily, for no one can ever pay enough to live forever.
Okay.
It's so a little bit of what Yo, taking a little bit from what everybody was saying.
Go ahead. He got the last say so. And if he don't want to allow you to redeem yourself, you can't.
And then I think there's Marilyn there. What'd you say?
We would never have enough.
We don't have enough.
Never have enough.
We don't know the cost. We don't know the price.
We don't know the price at the time.
All right. And to show that a little bit of what was being said about us being in a hostage situation, when you're in a hostage situation, they generally don't let you negotiate the terms. They negotiate the terms with those who have access to your finances. But let's look at what one man said who proved that he didn't believe he could even redeem himself. Go to the book of Job and somebody read verses chapter 19 and somebody read verses 25 through 27. Job 19, 25 through 27.
I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Amen.
All right. So Job even identifies that he's not the what?
He's not the redeemer.
He's not the one that's able to redeem. So both sides, we got both answers. The price is too high, and we can't do it. We can't pay it. We don't even know the price at this point. We do now. We should know. Prayerfully after the end of the lesson, you will assuredly know what the price was. But so we got the price is too high when we can't pay it. All right. We need to keep going. So let's get into the good part. Question 4. Has he redeemed us and how has it been accomplished? Got a couple scriptures here. First, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. I know getting our fingers worked out this morning with our Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 1, and somebody read verses 18 through 20.
Okay. It says, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was with the precious blood of Christ, the senseless, spotless Lamb of God. God has chose him as your ransom long before the world began. But now, in these last days, he has been revealed for your sake. Amen.
Amen. So who has redeemed us?
God redeemed us with the blood of Christ.
God paid it.
God paid it.
And Christ actually redeemed us.
Here's the killer. When you're reading that, it tells you that God paid it and Christ is our ransom. So God the Son is both payer and the payment.
Amen.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
So I have a question.
Go ahead.
Sure.
Is it true that God the Son was an overpayment? That's my question.
Class.
Yeah. I wouldn't say an overpayment, but he paid a lot for each one of us. He gave his only up for us.
I mean, I'm just thinking about
what he said on the cross. He said, it is paid. And we talked about that in a class a while ago, paid in full.
Paid in full. He paid it all.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the bride price, where the father sets the value of his daughter when he's going to give her in marriage. And he sets how much she's worth and what he'll accept as a payment for his daughter's hand in marriage.
Okay.
And so it just shows us the value that God placed on us and places on us by the price that he paid for us.
Okay.
So we might think it's an overpayment. I don't think I was worth it.
But God did.
Right. But it's what God did.
And he was the one
who set the price. Wow.
Okay. Wow.
I mean, we just have our little hallelujah moment right there today, and we can end the lesson, but I won't.
When you said, you say he set the price. That's right. That's a non-numerical figure he paid. He paid with a body. That's a heck of a thing.
With the precious blood.
Right.
Yes.
The sinless, spotless lamb. Let's just keep, because I love just reading scripture about, because scripture goes with scripture. Hebrews chapter 9, somebody read verses 11 through
15. It says, Christ is the perfect sacrifice. So Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of the created world. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a... Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. That is why he is the one who mediates a new covenant between God and people, so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance God has promised them. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of the sins they had committed under that first covenant. Amen.
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 All right. Another good passage. I love the book of Hebrews because it talks about all this tying things together from the beginning. But in it, the passage she just read, thank you, Sister Kathy, in verse 12 it said that at verse 12, with his own blood, the blood of goats and calves, not through the Old Testament sacrificial system where they had to keep repeating it over and over and over again because it was never enough. Every year, every day, it was never enough. They had to keep doing it over and over, and the payment was never enough to satisfy. It says, with his own blood he did. He entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. He ransomed us in full forever. There's no more payment, right?
Put it like this.
If he overpaid, he overpaid on purpose. He overpaid to such a point where it'll never run out, no matter how many people.
Amen. Yes.
And then another place right there at the end of verse 15, it says, for Christ died to set them free from the penalties of the sins they had committed under the first covenant. Under the first covenant is Israel, who was under the law, and then Adam and Eve in the beginning, their sins that they committed, sin entered into the picture, death entered into the picture. And so everything that accompanies sin entered into the picture, and death being the final death nail, the wages of sin is death. And so here we have, but Christ set us free. He delivered us. He redeemed us. He ransomed us from that penalty. So you see, I'm praying that the word redemption is meaning more, so much more. Than, so when we hear it, we don't just hear it as a buzzword or something that we say in church, but or something that we say when we're talking to each other, but we start really understanding that we were literally ransomed in full.
Yeah.
And we know what ransomed us and who.
Blood of Christ.
The blood of Christ ransomed us, and he did it all. All right. So somebody already referenced this, but we're going to really unpack it a little bit more. Question 5 says, how do we know the price of redemption is paid? Yes, we have the language in Hebrews, but let's go to John chapter 19 and somebody read verses 28 through 30.
What was that, John?
What book was that again?
John 19, verses 28 through 30.
It reads as follows. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Amen.
Amen. All right. I'm asking you a question that's not on the paper. What had been finished?
The work of redeeming us.
The work of redemption.
The payment. And so when Jesus declared what is the Greek word telestai, which means finished, he was saying, it's done. It's paid for. They've been bought back.
It's done is the work that his father wanted him to do, right?
Yes, and that's what the work he came to do.
Right, okay. I just wanted to make sure I was right. I mean, I was.
Yeah. You're on the right train.
Okay.
All the work, everything, the mission was redemption. The mission was to get us back.
I didn't
even
do the message once you said he had got tired of all the different goats and all the different blood they sacrificed, and he didn't want nothing else from them. When you're doing this class, that's the thing that I remember that message you did the most.
It wasn't enough. That was the thing.
Okay.
It was never intended to be enough, because again, Genesis 3:15 alludes to that the enmity between the seed of the serpent, seed of the woman, and that the serpent would bruise his heel, but he would crush his head. That was to show the price that was going to be paid. But that was kind of a secret kept that nobody believed, would ever believe, that God would become man to die and become the sacrifice for man. And that, in that world, everybody sacrificed to the gods. Everybody gave to the gods. They gave their children, their crops, their time, their bodies, everything to the gods in hopes of getting something from the gods. But here, our God came down to us and gave himself to redeem us. Not to give us anything, not for us to get anything. He gave to us, for God so loved the world that he gave. So we know now. How do we know redemption is complete? Because Jesus said it. It's finished. So this kind of helps when you hear people ask about scriptures like working out my soul's salvation with fear and trembling. To understand that verse, you have to understand what you're working out. You're working out what's already in you if you're in Christ. That's what I mean. It's like your body. When you work out, you're not getting muscles. You're building what's already there. Mm-hmm. So we're not working for salvation. We are working our salvation out of us because it's already been deposited in us. Help them clear up some stuff. All right.
Question six. Who looks forward to redemption?
Face a little bit here.
I'll read this one. Okay. Go ahead, Kat, if you want to.
Okay. Psalms 130 says, "From the depths of despair, O Lord, I call for your help. Hear my cry, O Lord. Pay attention to my prayer. Lord, if you kept a record of our sins, who, O Lord, could ever survive? But you offer forgiveness that we might learn to fear you. I am counting on the Lord. Yes, I am counting on him. I have put my hope in his world. I long for the Lord. More than centuries long for the dawn. Yes, more than centuries long for the dawn. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is unfailing love. His redemption overflows. He himself will redeem Israel from every kind of sin." Amen.
All right. So number one, who's looking forward to redemption? In Psalm 130.
Yeah.
Israel, the people who were under the old covenant.
Oh,
they were looking. He himself will redeem Israel. So they were looking forward to redemption. And remember, I said redemption is, it's already, I have been redeemed. I am being redeemed. I will be redeemed. All right? So keep that, Israel. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. If you haven't read Romans chapter 8 and sat with Romans chapter 8 for a while, shame on you. Because Romans chapter 8 is really loaded with good stuff. Yeah. Romans chapter 8, somebody read verses 18 through 23.
"I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. Amen.
All right. So who else is looking forward to the full redemption?
We do. Our bodies.
We do.
I learned that this week.
Creation.
And all of creation. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we see it in the beginning, in the garden, everything was beautiful. And then now we got thorns and thistles, and Adam's got to dig out what's in the ground. He's got to attack the earth in order to get it to produce. And animals have been attacking and going extinct ever since. So creation is groaning, waiting for the full redemption. Now, mind you, the redemption is already paid. We know that. But yet there's still that not yet that will be redeemed. And then, of course, our bodies. We see it every day. The older we get, can we all praise God for the fact that we going to get new bodies?
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Especially the way this one feels.
I tell you, I had one of those weeks. Some of y'all know. So. All right. So Israel is the old, our brothers and sisters from the old and creation, and we ourselves in present and ongoing are all waiting for the day when no more doctor visits, no more sickness, no more pains, no more putting on a jacket, no more taking off a jacket. All right, let's get question number 70 in so I can finish on time. So now, what does it mean to be redeemed? Let's look at Psalm 10. Let me get my readers together. Somebody's at Psalm 103, verse 4. You can read that for us.
He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with faithful love and compassion.
Okay. So it means to be redeemed. We've been redeemed from death. You know, that's what he said in John 11, he that liveth and believeth in me will never die. So we will never be separated from God. Even Paul goes into Romans 8. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. So no death for us. All right. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13.
It reads, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. Amen.
Right. So we've been redeemed from what?
The curse.
From the law.
From the curse of the law. The law was never given to show us how to get free. The law was given to show us what we did wrong, what we do wrong. And some people think, if I follow the law, I'll be right with God. No.
No.
You break one law, you broke them all, you're under the curse, death.
Mm-hmm.
But because of Christ, he fulfilled the law. He became that curse for us. He became the sacrifice, the ransom. He both payer and payment, redeemed from the curse of the law. All right, continuing in Galatians, look over to verse chapter 4. Somebody read verse 5. Read 4 and 5 for me.
But when
the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. Right? So, we have been redeemed. What it means to be redeemed, we're redeemed from death, we're redeemed from the curse of the law, and we have been bought into God's family through this redemption. We've been brought back home.
Mm-hmm. Remember in the beginning,
separation happened.
And now, it's like
When the definition was given about ransoming, somebody's been kidnapped, taken away from, held hostage from. But once the ransom is paid, they're restored back home if you got righteous kidnappers.
Yeah.
So we've been brought back home.
Amen.
So let me close out. I pray you all have been blessed by this morning's Saturday school lesson and the word redemption. Just close out with scripture real quick. Back to Colossians chapter 1 where we opened up this morning. Chapter 1 and verse 13 I'm picking up. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. Freedom. Our sin. We have been redeemed. Even right now, we are being still redeemed. We're in process. And we get to look forward to the fact that we will be completely redeemed one day. Very soon.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm done. Yeah. Any questions?
Real quick.
No, I'm just glad you feel better.
Thank you. Thank you all for your prayers. I was viciously assaulted by a stomach virus this week, courtesy of a one-year-old who gave it to Minnie. So, but thank God, I do feel better. I'm not 100, but I'm on my way. So.
Yes.
Look forward to next Saturday.
All right. Okay.
Okay, good lesson. Good lesson, Sister Janice. We enjoyed that lesson. Jesus paid it all, and all to him we owe. He paid it all, and when you say he set the price for what was paid. And it was paid in full. And then we're going to get a whole new body. No more sickness, no more pain. All our parts are going to be new. And that's just refreshing to know. Thank you, Sister Janet, for that lesson. You broke it down, made us understand that, broke it down clearly. Just good. Thank you. Excellent teaching, as always. And you have a great day. And have a great day.
All right. Grace and peace, everybody.
Okay. Thank you. Wow, wasn't that a good lesson, you guys? All right. Hey, get your cookies, your crumpets, your coffee, your tea. And after this election, we will start our morning service. How about that? Okay. The moon.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. And this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, good morning, and welcome, Block Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Runner for Christ Ministry Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly. And we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer. And at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe is vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And we have this morning to help us read our scripture and prayer is our very own sister, Rebecca Johnson. Good morning, and thanks for being with us.
Good morning. I'm so happy to be here in service.
Amen. Take it away.
Okay. The title of the scripture reading for today is Wisdom from God. It comes from 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter, verses 9 through 16. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 16. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service now or later. Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to offer up to you the much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and the preach word lifts up Jesus so that all those who are lost today will be found today. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask for these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Johnson. You know we appreciate you, and just have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
I'm restored and I've been rewarded. I'm redeemed from guilt and shame. Never rejected, just reconnected. Now I'm exalted because I know his name. Thank you for my storm. I'm restored. And I've been rewarded. I'm redeemed from guilt and shame. Never rejected, just reconnected. Now I'm exalted because I know his name. I like this part right here. I know his name. Come on, take it up.
Wonderful thing about being a Christian. I realized why you let me go through so you could bring me out. Hey, man, you remember when Job came out? Oh, Lord have mercy. He had 10 more kids, and he had double his wealth. He, like Joyce Meyer said, he got double for his trouble. Redeemed, amen. That's why Pastor Janice Tate, amen, she's assistant Pastor Janice Tate, that's why she's the senior teacher at Runner for Christ Ministry. She's the teacher of the teachers. I'm telling you, she's going to break it down. And then break it down some more. Go chew it up so you can eat it up. Amen. I thank God for each and every one of you today. And it's a wonderful day. I mean, the story of redemption, I mean, really, we've been fully paid for. It's all, it's over. We've been ransomed. We was kidnapped by sin and held ransom. And when sin said, I want this much, we all put our money together. It wasn't enough. So we told sin, what if we give you all the bulls on the planet? Sin said, ain't enough. Oh, wow. We was in trouble. But Jesus, well, he was enough. He said, Father, you see how Pastor Tate brought that out? She got me preaching, so y'all blame her. It's finished. Ain't no more to be paid. Come on, y'all. Let's sing with Wes Morgan. Let's say, Jesus, you paid it all.
Unselfishly died on Calvary. Oh, how you gave your life for me. Bruised, scorned, crowned your head with thorns. No greater love performed for me. Nailed in your hands, nailed in your feet, pierced in your side, could barely breathe. Could have came down, yet you remain standing in awe of the price you paid. I never knew of a love so true.
You paid your life and still I heard you. Lost so many times to find you again.
But I repent, forgive me for my sin.
you paid it all.
Amen. Amen. You know, the Lord is really appreciating this worshiping in spirit and in truth. See, a whole lot of folks, they can't worship God like this. They need participation. They got to have some crowd action. Amen. I will praise the Lord. I don't care if I'm in, you put me inside a barrel and turn on You Paid It All. Turn on My Redeemer Lives and see when I praise Him. Amen. I'll praise Him in the grocery store. I better not have my headphones on. You better watch out. Call me crazy. I don't care. I'll be crazy for Jesus. Will you? You know why? Because Donnie McClurkin wrote a song. It ain't never going to get old. It talks about just for me. Jesus came and did it. Oh, see, Pastor Tate started something with this redemption. Jesus came and did it just for me. Amen. Close your eyes and look at yourself and say, Jesus came and He did it just for me.
What does the cross of Jesus mean? It's more than songs we sing. Much more than that emblem of Your chain. But it means I'm free, yes, from the chains of slavery. And the blood it shed won't let my sins remain. Oh my, upon the cross my Savior died. The Lamb was crucified, showed us love that this world had never known. Oh, what love divine, so divine, true love you never find. So that we might live, love came. Well, the cross will always represent the love God had for me. When the Lord of glory gave all on Calvary, He did it just for me. Came and did just for me. We thank you, Lord, we thank you. Just for me, you died on Calvary. Oh, oh yes, you did. Oh, Jesus came. You did us. We're ever grateful, say now just for me. Died on Calvary, hung you upon the tree, oh yes baby.
Jesus came,
did it just for me, oh, just for me. Buried you in the grave, but you rose.
Just for me, just for me. Thank you, Jesus. You paid it all. I know it's not a dry eye in the house, and everybody's just praising and just thanking the Lord right now for all that he has done for us. We just thank you, and we are thankful. And just thank you, Pastor O. You just always take us there, and we are just so thankful. We just thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Thank you. Appreciate you. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will have the pleasure of hearing back-to-back and doing triple-double duty, as always, is our very own shepherd, the awesome Pastor Gerald Marshall Overall. Pastor O. Offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive our Pastor Gerald Marshall Overall. Pastor O. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
It belongs to me. Salvation belongs to me. And I have everything to make salvation complete, 'cause I know the work is already done by the power of his blood. I know it's mine. It belongs to me. It belongs to me. That makes my healing complete. It doesn't matter how I feel. When his stripes say I am healed, I know it's mine. It belongs to me. Hey. And it belongs to me. All blessing belongs to me.
Thank you.
Amen, y'all. Let's grab the Lord like Jacob did, and let's hold on to him and say, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks this day for this day. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that as the old folks used to say, you touched us with a finger of pure love. And you decided to let us live on this side of life one more time. Oh, Father, we thank you for your great kindness. When we arose this morning, there was air to breathe. Oh, you've been kind. You've been good. Lord, when we woke up this morning, some of our body parts, for some of us, all of them worked. We thank you for that. Father, when we woke up this morning, there was food to eat. There was coffee to drink. There was tea to have. We thank you for that. When we woke up this morning, we had clothes to put on. Or we could just wear our pajamas all around the house while we praise you. We thank you for that. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you just love us because you want to. We thank you for that. Father, we thank you for our redemption today. We thank you for that. We couldn't redeem ourselves. We didn't have enough. If we all colluded together and agreed together to give everything that you gave us, this entire universe, it would not have been enough to satisfy the sin debt. But you, Father, oh, we thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he came. He left heaven, came down here, stepped through, as the old preacher said, through 42 generations, stopped in a little town called Bethlehem, was born of a little girl named Mary, walked the dusty hills of Palestine for those 3 years, and then he left here and left us the Holy Spirit. But before he left, he redeemed us. He returned us back to you. He brought us back into right fellowship with you. He made us right with you. We thank you for Jesus today. His very name means he saves. His very name means you back with us now. Oh, Lord God, our Father, he is the Christ. He is the anointed one, the one that you accepted. He the one who paid it in full. He paid it all. So we wake up this morning, we cannot even fathom all of the thanks that we could give you for all of the wonderful and great things that you have done. Father, there are things that you've done that we don't even know about. But we thank you for those things that's coming our way that we don't even know about. We thank you for every lonely, low valley, because it was down there that you met us. You led us beside those still streams. You caused us to lay down in green pastures. You did that because you wanted to restore our soul. Oh, we thank you, Father, that you give us grace, that you grace us for every single thing we have to do. It is the power to get your will done on earth, just like it is in heaven. We thank you today. Father, we thank you for Associate Pastor John McFall. You got, he with you right now, Jesus. He's standing right there with you right now. He absent from that old body that just kept on falling apart. Lord, you said when this earthly tabernacle over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is dissolved, you have another one. Lord God, our Father. We talked about it this morning as Pastor Tate led us in church school. She said, we got another body, not made with human hands, not made by mother and father, as John 1 and 12 talks about, but one made by God. Lord, when we get up, when the rapture happens, that old body that John lived in, you're going to call that body from wherever it's laying. You're going to glorify that body, and then you're going to take his soul and spirit, which is with you right now, and put it back in that body, and those of us who are yet alive right now will be caught up in the air. And so shall we ever be with you, Jesus, never to leave again. Oh, Father, we thank you for all that, and we thank you for John. Father, I wouldn't even be on Blog Talk Radio right now if you hadn't sent John to my porch one day. I wouldn't be here if you hadn't sent Kat one day to call me and tell me to stop being afraid. And now, Father, that the church is all flooded out and we can't get in it, they over there rebuilding it, we're here on Blog Talk Radio. Tell John I said thank you for stopping by and introducing me to Blog Talk Radio. Father, you know the conversations that John and I had. You know, Father, how he talked so much about Kathy and how awesome. He didn't recognize her in the beginning, but he sure did in the end. She was his friend, Father, to the end. No greater love have any person than this, that they would lay down their lives for their brother. And she did that for him. He told me. She didn't tell me that. He told me that. It's just like when Dorcas left here. All them people ran up to Peter telling him what Dorcas did. John told me what Kathy did. Bless her heart, Father. You saw what she did. You see what she does. We thank you for that, Jesus. We thank you for that. We thank you that you work through us to do good for other people. We thank you, Lord, that you use us to tell other people that you died. And there's redemption. The price has been paid in full. All you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you are redeemed. You're going to be redeemed, and you are being redeemed. Oh, Lord, we get better every day. We come closer to you every day. Yes, we are fully redeemed, but every day you're redeeming back parts of our life that is not submitted to you. We give it to you today, Jesus. We redeem that part of our life back. And, Lord, we look forward to the day when we don't have to give back no more. But we'll be with you. And so shall we ever be with you. Oh, Lord God, our Father, we just cannot help but to thank you for all of your goodness and your kindness toward us. You shared with us everything that you have. Lord, you know that you just took me through the 6 days of creation and how much you gave us. Let us thank God for everything that you gave us. You've been good to us, Father. Father, we right now repent of every single thing that is opposite of you, every single thing that you redeemed us from that we're still participating in. And we thank you for your redemption, Father. And so we repent right now of every single sin, every single way that is not your way. Father, we want to be, in all our ways, we want to be able to acknowledge you so that you can lead us. We don't want to be going a way that you can't lead us. And if we're going the way that you can't lead us, please lead us back to you. Let us view us as that sheep that strayed away. Come get us, Jesus. Look at us at that coin that got lost in the house. Come find us, Jesus. Look at us as that prodigal son who, of his own will, walked away. Keep looking for us, Jesus, till we get back. Lord, we repent of all of that. We know that's not us. That's the temporary us. We want to be that forever us. The one that you talk about over there in Revelation chapter 21 and 22. We want to be that us. That is our best life. Some folks, Jesus, believe they can live their best life now. Lord, we know that our best life is what 1 John 3 tells us. It does not yet appear, Lord, what we shall be, but we know when you appear to come get us, Jesus. We're going to be like you. We're going to have a glorified body just like yours. We could do like you did them folks on the Emmaus Road. You can just pop up and be there. And then you can just pop out. And then you can pop up in the closed room where the disciples were hiding out. And then we can just pop out. We can eat if we want to or not. That's what we look forward to, Lord. That is what we're waiting on. Jesus, we thank you for everything. We love you. We appreciate you. We ask you. Lord, look at the hearts of everybody right now and everybody in the future who going to hear this altar call and pray along with me in this altar call. They're lifting their hearts up to you right now. Father, you taught us over in Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit makes groanings on our behalf. When we don't know what to say to you, he speaks on our behalf and he tells you exactly what you want to hear on our behalf. So look now, Lord, at the hearts of your people. And Jesus, fulfill their needs. Lord, we thank you that you even fulfill our wants and you give us the desires of our hearts. These are your people, Jesus. See their hearts now. See their hearts' desires. Meet their needs. And I know that you will, Jesus. Lord, we say yes. Right now, we say yes to whatever we have to do to make this happen. We say yes, we will serve you. Yes, we'll be your witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Yes, we will teach everybody that we can. We will always be ready to give an account of the hope that's in us through you, Jesus. And we will help as many people as we can in or outside the body of Christ. Lord, hold now the family, and I'm in that family, of John McFall. Hold Kenny. Hold Jackie. Hold Kim. Hold Jeffrey. Hold Lena. Hold family, Jesus. Too many to name. Hold Georgia, Jesus. You know, a long time ago, you used her to teach us that Hawkins song. Amen. That's his mom. Bless her heart, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, and ask that you hold on to them as they go through these days and hold Running for Christ ministry. He was our member. He was our brother. He was our friend. He was our husband. Bless us, Lord. You know what we need concerning that loss, that he's separated from us, but he's present with you. Help us in our separation anxieties. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much. Amen. We thank you so much. And yes, Lord, we will do whatever you call us to do. It is in your name, Lord Jesus, that we ask these blessings. And we are so thankful. Jesus, we pray to you right now, just like you did to your father when you stood outside Lazarus' tomb. He was all the way dead. His body was in decay. It was molting. It was rotting. But that didn't matter to you at all. But Jesus, I'll never forget when you said to your father, Father, I'm not praying for me on my behalf, but for those who are here. And Jesus, you said, Father, I thank you that you always hear me. And Lord Jesus, you say when you pray, say, Our Father. And so, Father, we thank you that you always hear us. We hallow your name. We pray your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you for the food that you give us. We know, Heavenly Father, that every sin we try to walk in, you're going to bring us from it. And we know, Lord, that we will dwell with you in your house, as the psalmist has told us, not just for a little while, but forever. We love you, Jesus. And we thank you so much for loving us just because you wanted to. And help us, Lord, in these days we live in this life to show you that kind of love. Amen.
Jesus.
Jesus, we love you, and we have so much to be thankful for. Thank you. Thank you, awesome Pastor O, for praying and making our request known to God. As always, we appreciate you. Thank you. All right. Yes, we are. And so far, we are having a great time this morning with more to come. And I just want to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen. Okay, time for the preach word. A message from God. Icing on the cake. After this selection, the next voice you will hear to put the icing on the cake is the beautiful, spirited Minister Janine Folks. Let's prepare to receive Minister Janine Folks coming her own way with the word from the Lord. Amen.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Peace and Blessings Blog Talk Radio listeners, Running for Christ Ministry members, visitors, and friends. And I want to greet and thank Pastor Overall for having me back and allowing me to use this platform, and allowing God to use this platform. Lady Sheila, all the associate ministers, deacons, trustees, members, and friends, Kathy, thank you for being such an amazing hostess. Thank you, Janice. Thank you, Ms. Johnson. And thank you again, Pastor O. I greet you in the name of Jesus. And before I go further, let us pray. Lord, we just heard the song, Lord, speak. Speak, Lord. That is our prayer in this moment, Lord, that you would speak. Because we know that I'm an imperfect being, but no matter how imperfect I am, Lord, your word is perfect. And, Lord, we just pray for your word to go forth at this sacred moment, that you would speak to your people, that something would be spoken that will redirect someone in the direction, Lord, that you would have them to go. And for that, we say thank you. Thank you. And how good the Lord is. How good and pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity. For where there's unity, there is strength, and we draw strength today. My scripture today is very short, very familiar, very simple, and it is taken from Proverbs 18, verse 21. Proverbs 18:21 is where I'm coming from today, and I am going to read from the Amplified Bible, and then I'm going to read the New Living Translation just to give you a broader perspective of the verse. Just one verse, and it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. New Living Translation. The tongue can bring death or life. And those who love to talk will reap the consequences. And again, like I said, it's a short, simple passage, very familiar. And we know it. We know this. We know that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So today I want to talk about speaking life. Speak life. It's simple, not really deep. It's simple, and we know this. And it's a pretty short passage, one sentence. We understand the concept, yet this is one of the most difficult things for us to master. But before I go further, I have to acknowledge my brother, John McFaul. I have to speak on him, and I love what has been shared. It made me realize John is still preaching, even on the other side. His life continues to preach. And I just want to express my condolences to his mother, his children, his siblings, Kathy, his nieces, nephews, cousins, extended family, and dear friends. My heart goes out to you. John was a special, special person. And what I remember most about Minister John is how he talked to me, his encouraging words and his helpful opinions. And even though he's gone from this realm, one thing I'll always have the memory of is what he said to me. One time he told me that I needed to make my books into audiobooks on CD. He was always coming up with ideas on how to grow my business, grow my books, increase readership. He was always encouraging, and he wanted me to take my book publishing to the next level. And his voice continues to resonate in my spirit. He spoke life into my business. And he would give me advice and ideas. And apparently I'm not the only one. He's also given advice and ideas to Pastor O. And I'm sure a countless number of you that we just don't know about, but how he spoke life. And he would tell me things I could do to help my book sales. And at the time, I didn't necessarily follow his advice. But because his words still echo in my mind, I can still carry out his ideas even while he's gone from this realm.
His essence lives on, and the seeds that he planted through his words germinated and affect humanity through four generations. And because he spoke life to me, John created life with his words. He empowered life in me in my quest to expand this authoring thing and writing books. So I want to take a moment to say thank you, John. Thank you so much. And let us take notes from John's life and speak life to others, because you never know how your words will take effect or take off in someone else's life. His life is still preaching. And this is why it's so important for us to be mindful of what we say and how we say it when we talk to people. Speak life. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And while I'm on that note, let me also mention, and I've told Deacon Charles Tate this before, how he unknowingly gave me the name Get the Pen. And it just came from him commenting on things I said. He would say, get the pen. And that was his way of telling me, put that in the book, write that in the book, get the pen. And that was Deacon Tate speaking life. The power of life was in his tongue. And he spoke it to me. And he did not have a motive in saying it. He speaking life is a habit for him. And that's how it should be for us. Speaking life needs to be a habit, where we speak life to everyone that we encounter, and those words will take root and flourish and bring forth fruit in the world, in that person's life, in your own life, and in others' lives that are affected by us. Now, on the flip side, we don't want to be that person who killed a dream or used words to tear down someone's aspirations because of something negative said. And we don't want to be the one who made someone feel ugly or feel bad and turned them into a recluse. A lot of people are really delicate, and so we do have to be careful with our words. Make sure you shield yourself with the right thoughts so that you will only take in life-giving words and discard the rest, because words are powerful. Life and death are in them. Encourage someone with your words, and remember, you know how that quote, I think it was Maya Angelou that said, people, they remember how you made them feel. And remember, that is your legacy, how you make people feel, and that comes from what you say to them and how you treat them. And I know we all have the best of intentions and we want to speak life, but do we? How often do we speak life? I think the 80-20 rule applies here. If I took a survey of everyone listening right now, I think about 20% of you would probably be able to confidently say you're pretty good at managing your mouth or your tongue. 80% of us would probably know we have work to do. And even the 20% who are pretty good at mouth management, we're probably only good at it about 80% of the time. The other 20%, we need prayer. Okay, so we are a work in progress, of course. Mastery, or at least getting a good handle on keeping the tongue in check, is a simple concept that would drastically improve our quality of life. It's simple, yet not easy. And now listen to this, James 3. It's almost discouraging, but we have to continue to strive, but it's just showing us the power of the tongue. James chapter 3, you know, in that scripture, in that passage, it likens the tongue to a rudder, something that's very small but powerful. And I'm going to read from James, starting at verse 1, and I'm going to go through verse 10. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, because you know, we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. And if anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to control his whole body. But we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey. We can guide the whole animal just with that bit. Consider the ships as well. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, and wherever the pilot is inclined. In the same way, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it boasts of great things. consider how a small spark sets a great forest ablaze. The tongue also is a fire, a world of wickedness among the parts of the body. It pollutes the whole person, sets the course of life, his life on fire. It sets itself on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, creatures of the sea being tamed have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth came the blessing and cursing. And my brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? You know, this was almost discouraging, but we can't give up on controlling and managing our tongue because our life literally depends on it. Now, you could process or interpret this the wrong way. You might say it's impossible, so why bother? But no, we have to keep striving. We have to continue to speak life. We can do it. We can do it, and many of us are doing it. Many are successful at speaking life. Now, when you speak anything other than life, your spirit will be convicted, and you'll retract those and change the way you speak about certain things. Being mindful of how you speak is a game changer. Be careful, you know, also of the power that you give people over you. And this is a bit off topic, but I just want to interject this right here, where I talk about us kind of being in control of what happens to us and what people may speak over us. There are two types of people in this world. There are those who have to be the victim, and then there are those who refuse to be the victim. Now, I know sometimes we are victimized, but we do not have to take on a victim mentality. I've met some people who have every legitimate reason to go into victim mode, but they are some of the most grateful and humble people that I've ever met. And then you meet people who are completely capable of doing great things, but they look for opportunities to blame others for their lack of progress or feeling bad. And they get upset about the most minute detail and use it as a reason to not move forward. Don't let anyone hold you back because they're not the ones who have to give account for the assignments that you avoided or refused to do because of excuses. That's on you. God offered you victory, and it's up to you to keep trying, and it's up to you to refuse to let anyone shut you down because guess what? They're not even going to be there when you give account. We have to work out our own salvation. And I guess that's an important point to make because with the power of words, we can control our words, but we cannot control what others may say to us or about us. So that is the way we can protect ourselves against what others might speak against us. So we guard ourselves, guard our heart, guard our mind, because only person we can control is ourselves. And people are talking all the time. But let us be mindful. Speak life. The power is in our tongue. So about this speak life, I like to liken it to a medicine mouth. Do you know that you're a healer? You are a very powerful being with the power of God, given authority to bring healing into every situation that you encounter. You can speak it, your speech, your tongue, your mouth, or sign language, writing, whatever you use to communicate is a weapon. Do you realize how powerful you are? And I think we would be amazed to know how powerful we are and how powerful our words are. This is in the Bible. The Bible says that we can speak to mountains and they will be removed. Now let's go back and revisit Mark 11:23, where it says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he or she shall have whatever he or she says." Now, what is your mountain? I'm not talking about going to Tennessee and, like, speaking to a physical mountain. I'm talking about the mountains that represent our problems, things that are in our way, things that are blocking us from getting to where God would want us to be. Now, I want to just kind of dissect this verse a little bit. Verily, verily, in French, there's a word called vérité. That means truth. So truthfully, if you put verily in front of this to tell you this is the truth, and he said whosoever, that means anyone. Not there's not a certain group of people that this applies to. This applies to whosoever. So that would include you. Now, what is your mountain? Mountain is an obstacle or problem. It could be grief. It could be bills. It could be finances. It could be a broken heart. It could be a health-related issue. Those are the mountains. And removed, when we want them removed, it means that we're not bound to them, that where there is a will, there is a way. Speak life into your situation. And don't self-defeat with how you speak on a situation. And the verse also says, don't doubt. He said, don't doubt. And he said, in your heart. So this is a heart issue. So in your heart, you have to know. You must believe. So you have to have this knowing that whatever troubles you face, that you speak to it, depending on how you speak on that situation, God can move it out of your way, cast it into the sea so that you can go forward and stay on your path. Think about your mountains. And mountains usually come with negative emotions. And mountains are problems, and problems are not fun. But you know what? Even though we can speak to our mountains and speak them away, we need those problems to sharpen us. Problems make us strong. Problems motivate us. If we didn't have problems, you know what? We would be so lazy. We wouldn't even know how to use our faith. If we didn't have problems, we would be weak. And I know we hate to hear this, but we need problems. We need grief. That's what makes us strong. And, you know, I used to struggle with the scripture that said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he delivers them out of them all. Now, I like the deliver them out of them all part, but many of the afflictions are the right. Why many? Could it just be a few? But he said many. And I was like, God, really? Why is this necessary? Why do we have to have many afflictions? And even though we know how good God is, it just seems ironic that we would have to face so many afflictions. And even for the righteous, it didn't say afflictions for those who do bad things or for those who deserve a hard time. It's for the righteous because that builds our strength, it builds our character. And now I'm starting to understand that. And you know, some of the most powerful music ever written was written from a place of pain. And some of our deepest frustrations have led to us improving the way we do things. And a life without pain is lopsided. So we need balance, but our overall faith and connection to God sustains us and gives us unspeakable joy, even in the midst of our pain. The mountain of grief, and you know, I deal with grief because I'm a hospice chaplain and I counsel grief all the time. Plus, I have my own personal grief that I deal with every day. We all deal with grief every day. But you know what? Grief is the evidence of love. And even right now today, we're feeling grief and we don't like it and it's uncomfortable. But the reason we feel that grief is because of the love. And we need that pain to remind us of the deep love. We need that push and then God delivers us. Now, the pain of grief does stay with us forever and it's okay. We learn to live with it, but we want it to stay because we don't ever want to forget the love that we experienced with those who have passed on. That's our way of holding on to them and keeping them near. Now, remember, your words do hold power. Do you know how powerful that is? The Bible just told us like how powerful your words are, and I don't think most of us really believe that because if we did, we would be so much more careful with how we talk. Many of us are just reckless, so we have to be intentional and purposeful and make it a habit of saying things that empower us. And I think that's why I like that song, All I Do Is Win, 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 No Matter What. Because I got to keep telling myself that and put that in my spirit so that I can adopt it in my heart and believe that all I do is win, because Jesus is on my side and I know that I'm a winner because he is with me. And I love to keep telling myself that things are always working out for me. Things are working out for my good. This may look bad, but I know things are working out for me, and they're going to work out for me. And I don't know right now how it is, but I know it is because I know God, and I know he has never failed me yet. So I don't have to panic. I don't have to cry. I don't even have to worry. God is going to work it out for me. Things are always working out for me. And this really baffles my coworkers, and they don't understand. And sometimes it can be misinterpreted as, she doesn't care, or she's not concerned, or that you're being aloof or lackadaisical because you're not up in arms about a challenging situation. But when you know that all things are working out for me, you learn to not panic, not get upset, not get frustrated, not lash out at people, because you know somehow, some way, things are going to work out for you. Be like this. Now, there's a scripture, Proverbs 31:26, that says, she opens her mouth with wisdom. Be that person, knowing when and when not to speak. That's wisdom. And when I think of speaking and the power of words and the power of what you say, I am always drawn back to 2 Kings chapter 5 of that servant girl, verses 2 through 4. Remember that? And it said at this, the Arameans had gone out in bands and had taken the young girl from Israel. Now she was serving Naaman's wife. So here she was, a slave. And one day, probably in the kitchen while they were cooking, she said to her mistress, if only my master would go to the prophet who was in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. And you know what? The next thing we know, in the next verse, it said Naaman went and told his master what the girl from the land of Israel had said. So somewhere between verse 3 and verse 4, the wife went back and told her husband what the servant had said. So it kind of went through one person, unless maybe he overheard her telling the wife. But anyway, he heard what the servant girl had said, and he took that and he told his master what the girl had said. So I'm wondering, wow, her words carry some weight, and she was just a slave. She mentioned something and it literally changed the course of history. One sentence, one statement that she made, and this made the Bible. Can you imagine something? You said something and it made the Bible. And this is better than getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, to have something you said made the Bible. And it's just because she made a statement, she used her words, and they spoke life, and the general took heed to what she said, and that spoke volumes, and it changed everything. And notice that she didn't speak to him directly. Words have a way of traveling, and you never know where your words will end up or if or how it will change the course of history. But really, your words do affect history, even within your family, within your home. Everything you say shapes your world. Words are sacred. And so don't just be throwing words around haphazardly. Even in a casual setting, be very strategic and careful of every word that comes out of your mouth, even while you're at work. Even while you are shopping, you're in the grocery store, things you might just say, thinking out loud, and I do it all the time. I have to be careful. And now, credibility, I just want to touch on credibility. And when I think about the servant girl, the type of credibility she might have, she had to have in order for Naaman to even believe her and listen to her. Now, how you carry yourself speaks volumes, because how you speak is determines, or how you live determines whether people will listen to you. What your reputation says and your track record is going to determine whether people take you for your word. If you have a history of lying, people probably won't listen to you. If people think you exaggerate, they're probably not going to take you seriously. If you mumble, they're not going to try to decipher your words. If people respect you because you show respect, your words are going to carry weight. And then there's boldness. When we speak, there is a boldness that we have that empowers our words. When you know, you know. When you know something, boldness comes. When you're talking what you know, that's where you can be bold. And if you have to struggle with whether or not to say something, you probably shouldn't say it. When there's something that needs to be said, there won't be any struggle because you'll have a sense of certainty, and it'll be hard to contain. Just like writing, I know I've had this discussion with the writers. Don't conjure up words. Just receive the words. Let the flow come through you, because conjuring up words comes from self. Flow comes from God. And we want our words to come from God, not us. And when people call me a creative writer, I generally disagree with that. Some people are creative writers, but for me, I prefer to write what is given to me, not what I create or what I make up from my own mind, unless I'm writing something fictitious or something. And even then, in fiction, there is some inspiration that comes from a source higher than the writer. And I don't like to make things up. I like to write what is given to me. So when you have a conviction and you know what you need to say, then you can go forth and speak with boldness, and that's assuredness. And God supports boldness, because in Hebrews 4:16, he said, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." So we need to be in a place where we know that we know that we know. And when we know that we know that we know, we can go in boldness. And boldness only comes when there is confidence, or should I say confidence. And confidence comes from knowing. If you have doubts, you cannot be bold. If you're unsure, you can't be bold, because doubt and boldness, true boldness, do not, they don't go together. And if you find yourself teetering, you need to go be still until conviction hits you. And when you have a strong conviction, nothing can stop you or convince you otherwise. Like when I wrote a book and when I had the desire to be a self-publishing doula, I knew that no one could stop me, because I shared that idea with a few people, and they would give me every reason why it wouldn't work. But I had to know in myself that it would work, because if I listened to other people trying to give me a reality check, I would have walked away from my dream. But when God gives you confidence, you'll speak truth even when it's uncomfortable to most. You'll speak up in the face of intimidation without flinching. And this is how you become effective and affect the course of history. That's how you will feel when God gives you an assignment. So tap into God, his Holy Spirit. Disconnect disempowers you. So you can't be disconnected from God, because then you're going to have a lot of uncertainty, and that makes it hard to go forth boldly. So we need to be certain, you know, and be connected to God, because when God says go, it's a wrap. You're doing it. And have you ever noticed something about successful people? They speak differently. I've never met a successful person who speaks a lot of negativity. And when I say successful, I'm referring to people who are generally happy. I define success by the ability to be happy. It's not about being rich or having a great career, but people who live a good life, peaceful life, a happy life. Generally, those people, when they speak, life comes out of their mouth. Now, the heart, there's that heart and tongue connection. Matthew 15:18 says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart." So your words tell where your heart is. So if you want to know what's in somebody's heart, all you have to do is listen to what they're saying. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones." And you can tell a person's heart just by they talk, how they talk. And joyful words are healing. Have you ever felt down or felt discouraged, and then somebody came along and said the right thing at the right time? And did it feel like you were lifted up out of a pit? I love when that happens. And it's almost like God himself sent somebody to rescue you from despair just with words. Encounters like this are divine, and I don't think they can be humanly constructed. And most of the times we humans have no idea what another person really needs to hear. And when we say the right thing at the right time, we know it's a God thing. And God uses people as a medicine mouth. A medicine mouth speaks life and hope. It feels like love, and it comforts. It's empowering. It's resurrecting. And a lot of times the person who speaks medicinally has no idea the magnitude of the impact that they're having on the recipient. And when we try to have a medicine mouth on our own, we risk failure. If we try to force words that we think will help someone, they can backfire and make matters awkward. And sometimes silence is just as medicinal or even more, depending on the situation. And when we're attuned to God and sensitive to people, God can intervene and give you supernatural words that soothe like medicine. And when love and God's word are ingrained in you, healing words will flow naturally, almost effortlessly. Now, on the opposite end of the spectrum, there lies the toxic mouth. Don't be that person. Don't be that person. We want to bring healing to those that we come across, because we want to keep in mind that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And the tongue is a small thing that makes a big difference. And being in the spirit makes it easy for us to use it positively. So use your medicine mouth and speak life. Pray without ceasing. We're always praying because life is always throwing things at us to pray about. So we're always asking God for help. I think always. We may not be on our hands and knees at the time, but every time we're thinking and hoping and asking God, help, 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 we are always praying. And that's what I take it to mean, is pray without ceasing, because we're always looking to God to be our source, our guide, our help. Your voice, your tone of voice determines how your words are received. Be mindful of your tone. Be mindful of your word choice. Be mindful of your body language. And be mindful of your actions, because if your actions contradict what you say, it makes it hard for people to listen to you and hear you. Now, what you speak begins with what you think. How you think affects how you feel. It's all connected. All of it contributes to what comes out of your mouth. Matthew 15, but the things that come out of the mouth are from the heart. Check your heart. And as a Christian, because you pray, because you are led by the Spirit, because you study and meditate on the word, you show up differently. You speak differently. You don't have to be the most educated or the most decorated or the most talented or most credentialed, but because you speak a certain way and because you're connected to an almighty God, it opens doors for you because you speak differently. You speak life. People judge you by the way you speak. They know you by your fruit. And sometimes you will talk your way into in and out of situations. So be careful how you talk to yourself, how you talk about yourself and even others. Stand firm in who you are and let your words reflect the essence of God. Speak kindness. And sometimes the most powerful weapon in an argument is a compassionate word, kindness, because he did, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Keep speaking life. God bless you.
Perfect, but I sure been faithful. See, God's got a purpose, yes, and I know he's able. I've got to see in the ground that he's blessing, no more stressing. I've got a seed in the ground, now I'm knowing and it's showing. My feet for grace, for favor. It only works when we all do it. To do what?
To reap what I have sown.
Come on, you say, for grace. For what else?
For favor.
This is my season to reap what I have sown. Everything is working together for my good. Hey, church, everything is working. Don't feel good, but it's working
for my good.
For grace, for I need somebody to prophesy with your body language. Just say, what you say? God is leaning in my direction. Don't prophesy. I said he's leaning. In whose direction?
In my direction.
Come on, you waiting on me to say it. You got to say it. Say it.
He's leaning.
In my direction.
In my direction.
Because this is my seed.
For grace.
For favor. This is my seed. Come on, y'all. Will you raise your hand and say, I've got a seed in the ground. Come on, open your mouth and say, I've got a seed in the ground. And I don't care what your circumstance says, it's already getting better.
Amen. I don't care what your circumstances say. It is already getting better because the Lord is leaning in our direction. Lord have mercy. Today has truly been an awesome, awesome Saturday worship service, starting out with church school, Pastor Janet Tate speaking about redemption, the songs, pastors, preach prayer. Amen. The word, oh my gosh, it was so good to hear Minister Janine's voice. We haven't heard her in a while. We missed her. We didn't know how bad we needed her until we heard her voice today, and we heard that word that she brought to us today. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. It is so important to be mindful of the things that you say. I'm a big person on it's not what you say to me, but it's how you say it. The approach means everything, because you're either going to have a listening ear or you're going to be talking to someone with a hardened heart. And so how we speak and speaking life into people and being mindful and considerate things that we say is major. So the word that she brought today was a reminder, and it was also something that we really needed to hear, because in today's day and age, people are not very considerate and kind with the things that they say. Social media has allowed for there to be a platform where people can say horrendous and mean and hurt and detrimental things to people without there being any type of recourse or any type of accountability, because whoever is saying whatever could be anyone. But the thing about it is that God knows everything. God sees everything. And while the person that you're saying hurtful and harmful things to may not know you personally, God knows everything. And we will all have to give an account of the things that we say and do in this body, in this life, to the Lord. And so the Lord doesn't take anything for granted, and neither should we. So thank you, Pastor Janine, for bringing us that beautiful word. She puts me in the mind of our sister Rebecca Johnson. They're both very kind-spirited, soft-spoken, and they should all be doing audiobooks. They could just read to us forever because they're just so kind and so sweet. So we're just so thankful for the word that you brought to us today. Pastor Janine, thank you so much. It was awesome hearing you and all of the wonderful things that you said about Pastor John McFall. So thank you so much for the time that you took to bring us your amazing word for all of us to hear today. Thank you so much. So good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday. Amen. It is the first Saturday. Is it the first Saturday? Yeah, it's the first Saturday in the month of November. Amen. Time is just marching right along. By way of your announcements, as you all know, if you didn't, you're going to find out now, that our in-person Sunday school and worship service has been temporarily suspended. So while we are not physically in the church building, we will be having our Saturday church school here on Blog Talk Radio on Saturdays beginning at 9 a.m., amen, and then our Sunday worship service here on Blog Talk Radio will begin at 10 a.m. So don't forget that even though we're temporarily not in the building, you can still worship with us here on our Blog Talk Radio platform, which is so awesome. Tomorrow, Sunday, November 6th at 10 a.m., we will be having our Sunday worship service again right here on Blog Talk Radio. Pastor O will be bringing the priest's word to us, so we're looking forward to that. Don't forget, every Monday at 6 p.m., we have our church history class taught by Pastor O. The textbook is entitled The Church That Jesus Christ Built, which is also written by Pastor O. You know, it's never too late to participate and get into the class, but if you do, you will need the book. So if you still would like to jump in and participate, please visit Pastor O's website, www.pastorgmo.com. Again, pastorgmo.com, that's Pastor O's website, and you can get the book to be able to participate in the class. If for whatever reason you can't attend the live classes, all of the classes will be recorded and posted on our church website every week. Again, rfcm.org is the church website. Just go to the Bible classes link and then click on the history of the Christian church recorded at a more time, amen, that's convenient for you. Again, it's fun to participate in the class because you get discussion. We're talking to other people. But if you can't, for whatever reason, it's okay. The classes are recorded, and you can go back and listen to the recorded version at a time that is more convenient for you, amen? Also, don't forget, every Wednesday at 6 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio, we hold our Bible reading class, yours truly. That's me. I'm up next. I will be teaching the book of Jeremiah, chapters 1 through 10. We will be doing chapters 1 through 5 this coming Wednesday. The questions are available online at rfcm.org. Just click on the Bible classes tab. Or if you are on pastor's email list, they will be emailed out to you as well to be able to participate. Also, don't forget, every Friday at 7 p.m., our very own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is here on Blog Talk Radio with her show entitled Bring Back the Family. So don't forget to tune in and give her your support. Also on Saturdays at 11:30 a.m., Bondage Breakers Ministry, has their women's Bible class. For more information, contact the president of Bondage Breakers and the teacher of the Women's Bible class, Pastor Janice Tate. And then there's two ways I believe you can participate in person, and there's a way that you can call in. So if you do want to participate in that, please make sure to get in contact with Pastor Janice Tate. Amen. Also, as a reminder, that all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. So if you're just getting saved today, you literally can get your whole Christian life together just by going back all the way to 2009 and listening to Blog Talk Radio. It was only Pastor O on here for some years by himself doing what the Bible says for 2 hours every day. I can only recall two times in a handful of years that Pastor was not on Blog Talk Radio back then. One time he was so sick he didn't have a voice. Another time he was sick and just had to sit down. Amen. And I think that was only for like a day or two that that even happened. So Blog Talk Radio has come a long way. Runner for Christ Ministries on Blog Talk Radio has come a long way. And so many great things, so many great recordings, so many great classes, so many great teachings, so many great services. They're all on our church website through Blog Talk Radio, again, rfcm.org. You can go all the way back to 2009, all the way up until today. Amen? Amen. Now, if you'd like to pay your tithes and give any offerings, again, rfcm.org is our church website. Click on tithes and offerings. If you would like to give a love offering for the preacher that brought the word today, Pastor Janine Folks, please visit the church website and click on tithes and offerings. Under there, there's a section where it says preacher offerings. You'll find her PayPal, and I believe also her Cash App information is there if you would like to give her a love offering that way. If you want to still give through the church, you can go, again, still to the church website and give through rfcm.org. Just make sure you specify Pastor Janine's name, Pastor Janine Folks. Make sure you specify her name for the offering, and we will see to it that she receives it. Amen. The Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness and sharing with us and with her. Amen. Amen. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And when you pray first, over time, you will find yourself praying continually. And so we ask your continued prayers for those who are sick, those who are shut in, hospitalized, incarcerated. Please continue to pray for one another personally. And, of course, don't forget to pray for yourself. Please remember to pray for our schools, all of our children, our doctors and medical professionals, our nation, our world, all of our leaders as they're constantly facing major decisions that affect all of us. Continue to pray for the many missing and exploited, those who are being trafficked and abused. Please don't forget to pray for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world and so, so much more. We know that the list of things to pray for is inexhaustible, so just remember to pray for everyone, everywhere, all the time. Amen. Special prayers go out to Nico Gaston, Deacon Rayfield Rogers, all of our beautiful mothers on the move that run for Christ Ministries, Mother Irma, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Again, continue to pray for our president and vice president and the leaders of our country. Exercise your right to vote in this upcoming election. Amen. And don't forget to do so. Election Day is on Tuesday, November the 8th. Amen. Most people should not forget that date because most people's kids don't have school. So if your kids are home with you on November the 8th, it's because you need to go and vote, okay? So don't forget, you know, that we all see and hear what's going on in our local and state government. So let's do what we can while we can and make sure to vote. People don't think voting is important. Oh, I don't vote. They don't count my vote. They don't care about me, blah, blah, blah. But if you don't say anything, you don't have a say-so in what happens after. Amen. So just remember to do your part and go out and vote. Amen. Please continue to pray for our youth everywhere as they're constantly facing so many challenges. Continue to pray for all those who are bereaved, mourning, and grieving, all those families everywhere. And again, please, please remember to keep Mother Cheryl in your prayers. Amen. And as a bereavement announcement, I was so shocked when I got this email, I almost couldn't believe it. We're definitely saddened to know of the passing of our own pastor, John McFaul. We will absolutely miss hearing John Mack's voice here on Blog Talk Radio in his unique way of always bringing God's word to us. I know personally I'll always remember how he touched my family. Excuse me. He and Kat would go and visit my grandmother when she was in the nursing home and speak Spanish with her. So Spanish was the only language that she knew. She lived 101 years and probably could only say 5 English words. So John Mack spoke Spanish, and he would go up to see, him and Kat would go up to see my grandmother at the nursing home, and my grandmother would be so tickled. But the biggest thing that he did was get her at 99 or 100 years old to confess Christ as her Lord and Savior, as she was a Jehovah's Witness. And now she's in heaven for an eternity, and she's there with my mom, and now John Mack is there with them. And, you know, so that was truly a blessing to my family, and I'll always remember him for being 7 feet tall, just a tall, wonderful guy. You know, he had a passion for kids, and when he would come on and preach the word, you know, he always would remember to speak out to the youth and how important it was for us to do our part. And so just like Pastor Janine said, you know, his voice is still here and he's still preaching through people. Kat does her show, Bring Back the Family, where it talks about children and our youth. And so, you know, Pastor O has talked about how if it wasn't for John Mack, he wouldn't even be here on Blog Talk Radio. So he is still, even though he's not physically present in this realm of life with us, we're so thankful that he is in heaven. And like Pastor O has said before, we have more people waiting for us in heaven than we have here on earth. And so we all look forward to the day where we are all one together again with our loved ones who have, you know, gone on, and we're with the Lord. And so we are thankful for John Mack's life. In regards to his homegoing information, the visitation is this Tuesday, November the 8th, from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. At Kernan Chapel, which is located at 1020 4th Street in Lincoln Park. The family hour is on Wednesday, November the 9th, from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., and the homegoing celebration begins at 11 a.m., again at Kernan Chapel, which is located at 1020 4th Street in Lincoln Park. Amen. So please let's remember to keep his family and his children and his loved ones in our prayers. Amen. And just kind of segueing into type of thing, we're approaching the holiday season. Okay. Time has moved very quickly. And this is a very, very, very difficult time of year for a lot of people for many different reasons, all of which are completely known to God. Amen. So let's remember to be kind, to be compassionate, to be caring and considerate of others, not only at this time of year, but all the time. Amen. We know we have all been created in the image and the likeness of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's in Genesis chapter 1. So we should be projecting the same love, the same kindness, the same mercy, the same grace, and the same forgiveness that's given to us onto others. Amen. So let's just make sure to be considerate and kind to everyone. Amen. Amen. So as a new month, we always want to say happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners who celebrated their birthday this past week or who are celebrating today. Y'all know how we do it for our loved ones at Running for Christ Ministries. So happy birthday to London, who celebrated her birthday on the 3rd. Tamika Smith will be celebrating her birthday on the 6th. Tariq will be celebrating on the 12th. And Destiny will be celebrating on the 21st. So, again, we say happy, happy birthday. Much love, hugs, and kisses to all of you. Amen? Amen. So one of the most scandalous truths of the gospel is that our Creator longs to be encountered by his creation. God longs to meet with us. His greatest desire is for relationship with us. I can't fathom why God, in all his holiness and goodness, makes himself available to us, but it is the powerful truth of Scripture. God is pursuing each of us with his relentless love, seeking out those who might respond to his open invitation by opening the doors of their heart to him. My prayer is that in response to God's desire to meet with his people, we would be those who say yes to centering our lives around his nearness. May your week be marked by the reality of God's presence and love. So your scripture is, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John chapter 8, verse 32. In the incredible, abundant blessings of Scripture and the Holy Spirit, God has demonstrated his longing for us to know truth. Truth is a powerful weapon against the schemes of the enemy. Truth has an ability to bestow confidence and freedom on all who find their satisfaction in it. And truth in the eyes of God is completely founded in relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. May God grant us a hunger for truth that is deeply satisfied in communion with our loving Savior today. Everything God is and does is truth personified. There is no lie or deceit in our God, and therefore it is only in centering our lives around relationship with him that we will begin to experience the fruit of truth in our lives. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The life of Jesus is our example of truth. Everything he did was a perfect demonstration of truth. If we don't devote ourselves to the study of his life and experiencing who he is personally, we'll find ourselves living on the rocky shores of indecision and half-truths. We need his example to follow. We need the life of Jesus at the forefront of our minds if we are to enjoy the abundant life that truth has to offer us. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20 says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Jesus is the Word made flesh. And through the Holy Spirit and Scripture, we have access to not only learning about his life, but being transformed into his likeness. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says, for those who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. You and I are created to seek truth and see it come to fruition in our lives. We are created to shine the powerful light of truth into a world filled with the darkness of lies and deceit. But before we can share the truth of God, we must allow it to fill and transform us. 1 John 3, verse 18 says, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Truth is meant to manifest itself in our actions. Truth is so much more about our deeds of love than the words we say. Anyone can say words and truly not mean it. No one can truly love someone without revealing to them Jesus, truth made manifest in flesh. We can't love someone without the power of truth shining forth into the core of who we are, that God loves us unconditionally just as we are. Take time today to allow the truth of God's love and Jesus' life to make its way into every part of your life. Continue the process of being conformed to the image of Jesus by meditating on Scripture and experiencing the living, active person of Jesus. So guided prayer. Number one, meditate on the importance of knowing and experiencing truth. Allow Scripture to stir up your desires to seek the truth. Again, John 8:32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Psalm 145, verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. James 1:18, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Amen. Number two, where is the truth of God not shining forth out of you indeed? Where are you not experiencing the fruit of truth in your life? Again, 1 John 3:18, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. And number three, give that area of your life to God and ask him to transform you into the likeness of Jesus today. Meditate on truth centered around that area and allow it to sink down from your head into your heart. Make space to let God fully love you and ask the Holy Spirit to help you love others well throughout your day. when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. That's John 16:13. God longs to reveal himself to you and fully love you today. He longs for you to taste and see his goodness. To grow in godly truth isn't like taking a class or learning a subject. It's all about relationship. So may the truth of Scripture be revealed to you in relationship with the living, active God. And may you experience firsthand the God of the Bible and see truth in the man of Jesus. And may your life be a better reflection of God's love today as his truth works its way into every part of your life. Amen. Amen. And don't forget to set your clocks back 1 hour tonight. I think it's at like 2 a.m. for daylight savings time. We've fallen back. We know our phones and our electronic devices automatically do it. But make sure you change your stove, your microwave, your watch, your car clock, and all that stuff so you are on time wherever you go. Amen. Amen. And those are your announcements.
Amen. Amen. And eight women.
Amen.
Thank you, Crystal.
Eight women. Amen.
I tried to be right. I was going to be
I
right.
Know.
But
you
then
tried.
You just got me all messed up.
I know.
So.
It's all my fault.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Appreciate the announcements. And, you know, it used to trip me out when I would see John and your mother in the back of the church,
mm-hmm.
and they would be speaking Spanish. And I would go by there and say, aquí. That means here. And then I'm like, I'm out. That's all I knew. I'm here. Don't know anymore.
Lord,
see you
mercy.
Later.
Yep.
Walking
and I know
out
my
on
mom,
100.
She would hear that. She would turn to you and start laughing and talking. And Lord have mercy. I can see it now.
Yes, indeed. You know, I bet you they just clowning up there in heaven right now.
You know it. Clowning. You already know
you
it.
Know they
you already know.
Up there talking
absolutely.
Spanish in heaven. But hey,
you
in heaven
it.
You can understand it even if you never learned it,
there
right? That's
go.
The wonderful
there
thing about
go.
Being on that side. That First
yes,
Corinthians
Lord.
13 thing comes true where we
amen.
Look through a glass darkly now, but when we get there, we'll know even as we're
ooh.
Known, and nothing else will
amen.
Be a mystery. That's why I love
oh,
reading
amen.
Revelation to see the 24 elders and the awesome things that they're doing in heaven. It's not angels speaking, but it's God's people. It's us, the church,
Lord.
That's up
amen.
There explaining
amen.
Things everywhere you see them. But anyway, Craig, thank you, Crystal.
You're
all
welcome.
All hyped up.
I know, right? I know. It's Janice's fault.
Exactly. Janice started it with that redemption.
Yep. Yes,
and he's
Lord.
Perfectly explaining it. If that don't make you happy to know,
yeah.
if you didn't get nothing else but it's all paid for, but I know you got something
okay.
else. She didn't make it difficult.
Of course we did.
Amen. Plus, we had amen. Good participation, and that's awesome.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm proud of my church family. Amen.
Boogalooga.
Boogalooga.
I just spoke your tongue. Boogalooga. I'm going to have to ask Jesus, what did I say? Hey, I mean, anybody an interpreter? I need an interpreter. I just
nothing.
Spoke in tongues.
You didn't say nothing. You didn't say anything at all.
Oh, that's what I said, not anything. That's
yes,
what that means?
Not anything, absolutely.
Oh, Jesus, I got an interpreter. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay,
God.
Crystal. You have
all
a
right.
wonderful day.
You
tell
too.
Me I say what's up.
I sure will. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you who tuned in today, and we don't want you to forget about Pastor John McFall. We know that you won't. Pray for his family. You know, they're very close-knit, so pray for them. You know, they were all knit and sewn together, and they're part of the overall family. Their father was my brother, Kenny Joe McFall. I thank God that I had the pleasure of leading him to Christ. When Jesus found me, I went to find my brother. Amen. And so I thank God that, you know, he gets a chance to be with his father in heaven, to have the father, he, you know, that he had here on earth. Amen. He was always around. That's for sure. Anyway, we're going to bring Janine back, and she's going to give us some closing words. And then we're going to get on to the rest of this Saturday. Janine, I want to thank you. I know you had a wonderful summer. I saw all of it.
It's very busy. Yeah, but it's good to be back. It's good to be on this platform with all of you. And thank you. And let us thank God for this time, for this day. It's a beautiful day. The weather is amazing, Lord. We thank you for that. The colors are bright. We thank you for the seasons that change four times a year. Lord, we thank you for the word this morning. Lord, help us to be mindful of our words and let us use our words to speak life as we go forth through this next week. Let it be in our heads to be mindful and strategic and intentional, purposeful with the words that we speak. May the Lord bless you all and keep you is my prayer. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, preacher. I really appreciate you, and thank you for allowing the Lord to use you and share with us. Oh, Lord, I thought I'd never have an opportunity to say this, and I'm going to say it real good on today. Amen. Amen on today. Thank you, Janine. You be blessed, all right?
Thank you.
Tell the fam and the grands we say hey.
Will do.
All right. Hey, man, we've been blessed today, y'all. It's been a good day, and I thank God for it. And I thought it might be fitting to close with the song by some folks from in the neighborhood. They're called God's Harvest. And I believe this song would fit Pastor John McFall perfectly because, believe it or not, he used to call me because, you know, I call people challenged. I'm answer my phone challenged, and I got text-itis, so I'm not good at that. But he knew that, and he would call me, and he would comfort me about his situation. He would tell me what he was going through, then I would get silent, and he'd say, did you hear me? And I would be tore up about it, and then he would comfort me. Yes, the sick called me to comfort me about his sickness, but that's just the way John was. So I believe this song fits him. Amen. And this is what he would say to us. Amen. As we remember him and give thanks to God for him and what he imparted to us in the time that God allowed him to be with us. Okay. God bless you. God keep you. We'll see you when we see you.
I would like to dedicate this song. I share love.
I shall see God from, I shall.